Jerry Farmer, Rewan, where were you born, please?
I was born in Bedford Green, the London Hospital.
Which year was this?
That was in the 15th of September 1933.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Bethnal Green?
I did, yes.
Were you too young to remember the declaration of war by Neville Chamberlain?
No, I was 6 when war broke out, and we did all the Blitz, and we was evacuated in 1942 to Whitley Bay in Northumberland. Spent 3 months there and came home. Spent the rest of the war in Bedford Green.
You mean you went through the bombing and then you were evacuated?
When it stopped, yes.
What are your memories of the Blitz on Bethnal Green?
Because we were so young, really it was enjoyable. As kids we had the ruins to play on. And we never went to bed early, and when we did go to bed early, we knew we'd be getting up again when the asylums went to go to the shelter. So it seemed to be one round of fun for a young person there.
But were you frightened at any time?
Never can I look back and say I was frightened. Only one time was I really frightened. I took my younger sister to a local cinema, and my mother said, if the siren goes, it usually comes up on the screen, and they warn you can come out, or you can stay at your own peril. So we came out, and we was on the way home, and a doodlebug, this was in 44, the late years of the war, this great big black monster came over the rooftops, and we see the wind clip the tops of the houses, and it swung it round, and one almighty bang, and we was covered in dust, and I ran home with my sister. That was the only time I can look back and say, I probably was really frightened, yes.
What was the name of the cinema?
It was called the Standard Cinema off of Hackney Road.
And what was your address during the war?
My address was 6 Sheldon Place, just off of a street called Teesdale Street, which is off of Hackney Road. 6 Sheldon Place, it was a small cul-de-sac.
And did any bombs or V-weapons hit anywhere near your house?
Yes, my house was never destroyed by bombs. We had blasts. They had a shelter right outside the front door, and the door was the other side, so we had to run all the way around while the warning was going and the bombs were dropping. The nearest thing I could say was, I think it was on a Saturday morning, it was called Hughes Mansions, which was in Balance Road, Bethnal Green. And I think it was about 140 people killed by a V2 rocket, and we felt the blast of that. I think it was about 8:40 on a morning, Saturday morning. I believe it to be Saturday morning. I can't be sure about that, but I remember that very clearly. Hughes Mansions.
Did you visit the site of the incident?
Yes, we did. We used to get our bikes out and go down. Another famous one was the very first flying bomb, V1, doodlebug. It hit in Grove Road, Bethnal Green, on a railway bridge. And we all got our bikes and went down. And they said they was looking for the pilot. I can remember that clearly. I had a group of friends, about 7 or 8 of us, all had cycles. And they said it was a plane had come down and was looking for the pilot. Turned out to be the first doodlebug. And there's a plaque there now on the side of the railway bridge in Grove Road. That really comes under Bow.
And what do you think they might have done to the pilot if there had been one?
Oh, treating very nice, I think. I think we always looked after people, whether they were Germans or who they were. People seemed to give them a cigarette and a cup of tea. I was evacuated at one time. Not evacuated, but we had some friends in Basingstoke. And when the war first broke out, we went to Basingstoke. We was only there for a month, and it was too overcrowded, so we come home. And in later years, we heard that when the German pilots used to come down, they used to take them in and look after them. So there was no really animosity from normal people, just normal civilians. They really felt sorry for them, really.
Who would the abnormal people been?
Well, I suppose service people, when you're trained to dislike the enemy. I mean, when you're training, in my training, they kept popping up figures of people that look like Chinese. So I suppose you're trained to hate the people you go to war with.
When you went to visit the site of Hugh's mansions, what did you see there?
Lots of activity, piles of rubble, and couldn't get really near it, but lots of, not ambulances, but I think there were civil defence type vehicles. You know? We did have, I must tell you, we did have a nearer one than that. My grandmother lived in Claredale Street in a block of flats. They're still there now. And on the corner of there was a wood firm called Lee Brothers. That was in Temple Street. I used to go in at 8 o'clock in the morning. We was in my grandmother's house. That was a Saturday morning. And the warning went, and almost immediately bombs come down. We crouched in the passageway and there was a terrific crash, and they bombed Lee Brothers, all the chaps outside waiting to get them killed. And I remember the lady upstairs was running down with sheets and going over there looking at people, and I see my father turned up. He was in the civil defence at the time, the ARP, the heavy rescue I think he was on, and he came, and just shortly after that he joined the army and went into Wiltshire Regiment, you know, all through Italy and Germany. That was a very close one. That was nearest we came, actually.
Which year would that have been?
That was in the Blitz, right, for the Blitz. That would have been 1940. Oh, about July 1940, I would say, from memory. Because that very morning we went straight to Basingstoke, to people we knew, to get away from it, you know. They couldn't put us up, so we came home.
How long did you stay in Basingstoke?
I would say about 3 months with memory, but it was short in there, 6 weeks. You know? It was all sleeping in the front room and just wandering about, so we just went home. You know?
So things were so bad in Bethnal Green?
They were really bad. Bethnal Green really was bad because, I did slightly witness the Bethnal Green tube disaster. You know? We tried several underground stations. We used to go through Liverpool Street when the bombing really got bad. We used to go to Liverpool Street Station down in the tube. Bethnal Green Station several times. But then we found in Victoria Park, they built some underground shelters in the main area of the park. We were told to go there. We did that for a few weeks. And it was during that time that when we used to walk home from Victoria Park along the Roman Road to Bethnal Green, where we lived, Bethnal Green Road, all the activity outside the tube, which we later learned was the tube disaster. But I think that was in about 43. That was when, that wasn't the Blitz, that was the actual bombing. I believe that came later. I call the Blitz the Battle of Britain bit, which I think was from about May to about September, I believe. My birthday is the 15th of September, which is Battle of Britain Day. So that would be the Battle of Britain period. But the bombing really heavy was in 41, I think, 42.
Yes, the Blitz, I think, is usually telling us 40 to 41. What was the shelter like that was outside your house?
It was just a big square structure that took up the whole... The houses were cul-de-sac. They went from 1 to 10, and then the other side was 11 to about 20. And it was a very thin, sort of a narrow road. And the shelter took the whole of the road up. You had to walk on the pavement, go round to get into the door, which was opposite to us. And that's what I remembered the most. The searchlights, the droning of aircraft, and my mother running with us all the way round the shelter. So I had two sisters, and she used to be sort of cradling us as we used to be running round. It seemed an eternity to get round to the door, you know, but it wasn't really.
What was it like inside the shelter?
I can smell it now. If I go on a tube train, you can smell it. When a train is approaching a station, there's a smell comes through. A kind of, I can't explain it. Is it a dampness, a mouldy, musty? And that was what the shelter was like. I, talking to you now, I can smell the smell of the shelter. You can sense it, you know? And the concrete, wet, damp concrete, you know? And that's the feeling. Three-tier bunk beds each side. And when we went to evacuation, my mother came with us. I never got evacuated on my own. My dad was in the army by then. What always surprised me was all our belongings and things and our bed space was never occupied. It was just as we'd left them when we came back. You know? Nobody took over and said, well, that's ours now. We used to come back and expect to see that space, and it was there for us.
So there was a respect for people's property?
Well, the neighbours, all the neighbours were terrific, you know. And we never had anything indoors, so it wasn't a question of you had to lock your doors, what you could safeguard. But simple things like being helped. You used to go away and come back and you'd find things just the same. You know, and people would welcome you back. Yeah.
Did you ever get any thieving in the war from...
I never came across that at all. Never, ever in my family, all my family, there was a big family on my mother's side, and the only time one of my aunts, one of my mother's sisters had a break-in, and that was in 1947 in Old Ford Road. And it was so traumatic, it was unbelievable what went on, because it was unheard of in our circle. I know it went on everywhere, but in our circle, that was the first time he had a suit stolen. And it was talked about for weeks and weeks as though it was something really terrible. But it was the only time we never ever lost anything at all.
And in the air raid shelters, was it unpleasant to be in them for a long time?
No, I rather liked it. I can honestly say I rather liked the air raid shelter, because when you're kids, you never want to go to bed anyway. You know, my mother used to put us to bed, say, about 9 in the evening. And by always seemed to be around about midnight or 1 o'clock, the sirens used to go, the warning used to go. And then by going to bed early, you knew you would get up. You knew that would happen. So 2 doors away from me was one of my closest friends that I knew since I was babies, really. We went to the same school and everything. And he would be number 4. And it would be nice in the middle of the night to meet him, play cards, and we used them things that used to, I don't know what they call them now, but we call them gobs and bonkers. You used to throw one up and try to pick one up, and then you had to pick two up, and then there's about 6 things. They were like nice coloured stones. And it was like,
like jacks.
Yeah, I don't know what they call that. We call it gobs and bonkers, but I don't know. You start to throw one in the air and pick one up, and put that to the side. Then you throw one out and pick two up. You know, and if you dropped it, it was the other person's turn. And we used to do that until the all clear went. The all clear always used to seem to go around about dawn, just as the dawn was breaking. And we used to go back in and go to bed or get up for school. But I can honestly say, I have got a good memory, that I never felt tired. I don't know why now, because I've missed a night now and be ill. But I can honestly say, I don't remember yawning in school. I got through my schooling okay, enjoyed my school life. It never seemed to disrupt our family life at all. My mother worked in the children's hospital in Hackney Road, and my dad was in the army then, and I had to look after my 2 younger sisters. Now, you must imagine I was 7 or 8. And I used to mind them until she came home. She used to get home about 6 in the evening. She used to just do mornings and evenings in the dental section, clearing up, that's all, you know. And I used to look after those two sisters. I never really felt as though I was overworked or tired. Rather enjoyed it. And rather, I could say it was quite fun, really. You know?
But for your mother, did she seem to show signs of fear and strain under the bombing?
I think she did. I think she never showed signs of fear in a way where you would look panicky. But you could always sense that something was bad going on. Because they actually called Mum out once when I was cuddling her, when the bomb was dropping. I think it was a doodle bug. And we was in... It was my sister had gone to the Homerton Hospital, which in those days, in Hackney, was a fever hospital. My sister got scarlet fever. So she had to go in the isolation hospital. And that was a Saturday morning. It happened to be the 15th of September, my birthday. And she said, we'll go to visit her. And then we'll go into Marks and Spencer's, which sold toys in those days, and she bought me a tank. And you'll see it now, in the narrow way in Mare Street. Well, I was in there, the sirens went. So we came out, and there was some walled, and he said, up into the churchyard is a shelter, and it is still there now. Last year, I actually see the very structure behind the church. We run into this place there, and there was a very heavy raid, and it was right by the railway line. There's a railway line there. I think they must have been bombed, because the walls shook, there was dust, and somebody shouted out, get the stall, the seats away from the walls because of the blast. And I grabbed my mum and said, Mum, I remember that's the first real fear that I could see that she had, you know, that we survived that. We came out and there was devastation everywhere, Hackney Churchyard, that was.
And which do you think was the worst, the early blitz under the actual bombs, or later on when there were the V weapons?
Yeah, I believe that maybe it was because I was becoming older, but the blitz never at all worried me at all. That was quite a fun thing for us as kids. You know, we had scooters, and when the warning used to go, it used to be the thing to ride round the block on your scooter before you went in to your mother. Yeah. And you heard the siren start up, and what the boys had to do as a dare was go around the whole block of Claredale Estate on your scooters, because my block broke halfway around and I had to carry the things running home, and that's what the dare you had to do. So we were not afraid at all, that's the really truth of it. But I remember really being more afraid. I think what frightened me as a person the most was the B-2s, the rockets, because there was no warning at all, and it was just as though you could be sitting here and suddenly that would be the finish of it. And I would like to have heard something coming so you could back, you know. And we used to be playing in the street, especially in the evening as it was getting dark. A flash always came before the explosion. As the rocket came down, there was a flash. Not the flash of the explosion, but it must have been, but you see the flash before the explosion. And we was all playing in Claredale Street one night. It must have been about 8 o'clock outside, and we was messing about with spinning tops and things, and suddenly there's a bright flash and a terrific bang. Well, I never knew where that one was. I think it was over Hackney somewhere. But that frightened me, because I thought there's no warning at all, you know. You could be anywhere. And we were hearing stories about the New Cross Wharves, where people had gone shopping on a Saturday and they had a direct hit, where Iceland's is now. You know, and them sort of things worried me more than the actual bombing. With the bombing, you could hear the aeroplanes, you could hear the bombs coming down, you knew they was not quite so close to you, so you put it in a kind of perspective. But with rockets, you could not judge where they would be, and I think I was old enough then to realise that is pretty fearsome, really. You know?
But did the noise of the doodlebugs have a bad psychological effect?
Not the engine itself. Never worried me at all. It was like a motorbike, a kind of a funny motorbike sound. But once it stopped, what was really more frightening was you heard a swish of air as it glided past. And they were pretty very low around our area. I don't know how many landed in Bethnal Green, but there's quite some times where somebody said count, and when the engine stopped, if you got up to 15, you were safe. There was the kind of old wife stories, really. But I always started to count when the engine stopped. And when I got up to 10, I thought, well, we're okay. And and I was pretty young to think like that, really. But you go 8, 9, 10, and nothing had gone bang. And then you would hear the bang further on somewhere. So I suppose everybody was doing that.
Did you have any special hobbies that were typical of wartime as a boy?
Yeah, it was always that was the trouble at school, really, because when they used to issue out paper and pens and pencils and say you draw something, everybody was drawing war. And I remember really the teacher was going mad, you know. We kept drawing doodlebugs and we kept drawing rockets and we kept drawing things to do with war. And I remember this Mrs. Goff, she was really, really so annoyed one day when I drew several doodlebugs coming over at once, you know, and...
What did she want you to draw?
Oh, I don't know, I mean, pleasant things, I suppose, you know, but they were the times we was living in, really. Oh, that was the other thing, might be interesting to tell you, that which would never happen now, in school... I went to Teesdale Street School, which was in Teesdale Street. I could go onto the top playground where we used to our playground was at the top, tiny children used to be at the bottom. And I could look over and see my mum hanging washing up in the backyard, you know, of our houses, which was just over there. She used to wave to me at playtime, you know. When the warning used to go, because we were so near, we used to run down the staircase, the side staircase, out through the fire doors and run home. And the woman, my mother used to say, come home as soon as the warning goes. But you imagine if that school had been hit, where would they have got the numbers of who the children? They nowadays would be so different, but then nobody ever questioned it. We just used to run home. Several of us, my friends who lived in the same street, used to run home in the morning went. And all the other kids used to go down into the, not basement, but the lower classrooms, and all you did was sing the songs. And any education I've got is all self-taught over the years, listening to radio, because all I did in my most informative years, really, was just singing songs in shelters. Yeah? Never took an 11 plus because I was in Whitley Bay at the time when I came home. So I just taught myself, really, listened to discussions and radio and anything I know now. I got myself. You know.
It sounds then as though you were in Whitley Bay between the Blitz and the V weapons.
We were. I think we was at Whitley Bay at the wrong time, you know. I never liked that at all, and I never went to school at all for those 3 months. And we had the school ball man round. They threatened my mum, and she said, he's not going to mix with... She never said this, but almost foreign children, because they talked funny. We couldn't understand them at all. And when they did make me go to school, her and her friend who lived opposite us in the same cul-de-sac, right, Mrs. George, her name was, she had Junie, same age as my sister, and they both sat outside the school all day while we was in school to take us home. And she said that's what they used to do, sit on the seafront, then meet us. That's how bad it was, because the children, because they spoke differently, they seemed a threat. And of course they never liked us anyway, because they used to say, oh, you from London, we was all Cockneys, my family come from, and they always thought he was a bit of a wide boy, even at that age. The kids thought that he was out to catch them and cheat them. Cockneys always had that impression of low life, really, I suppose, which we're not.
Were you out to catch them and cheat them?
No, never at all. I couldn't catch anybody. I can honestly tell you is that I worked 38 years in the post office and I never, ever once took a two-penny stamp off the floor. I can tell you that I have never, ever in my lifetime taken something that I didn't pay for. And my father's the same. He's been motoring for years. He's 90 now, still alive. Never been caught for speeding, never been in trouble with the police. And that's what we were like. I'm sure most people was like that in those days. But personally, I would never have been like that. I'd have made friends and I was a very good Jewish person, actually.
So how long do you think you were at Whitley Bay for?
I would say, we came home and went back again. Because we came home to see everything was all right, then went back again and came back. So I would say it was a period of 3 months. 3 months. No more than 3 months. And it was in the, I think we must have gone away early winter and came home early spring or summer. Because I know it was very cold when we got there and all the beach had barbed wire on and sentries. There was a place there called Spanish City that I lived in. It was an amusement arcade. I lived in that place up there. And my mother used to let me go up there and put pennies in machines instead of going to school, you know.
So was this the winter of 42, 43, do you think?
I would believe it would be 43 was involved, because D-Day, which obviously was 44, we'd been home a good year then.
So it sounds as though you didn't give it really much of a try if you were only there for 3 months.
I think what the trouble was, my mother, I don't know the system of evacuation. I mean, my wife actually went to Barnstable as a young kid with nobody. Had to be met at the station and billeted out. But my mother and her friend came with us. She was evacuated with us. And that really made it worse in some ways, because had she had been at home, running her affairs at home, I think we'd have stayed there. But because she was always thinking what was going on at home, and I'd have to go home and tidy up and you know what mothers are like, I think that's why we went back and forth a couple of times, and then in the end we give it up, because when we used to go home, there was no bombing. She could not see the point in being down there. And then you might get a week of really heavy rains. That it was just a choice they took. But we certainly was in foreign country, it felt like. Whitley Bay was so far away from home. Now I love, and she does, my mother, we love the Geordie accent now, but, you know, I was in school and they were just like, it could have been in Africa, you know. Could not understand them. And
but at that time she didn't like you mixing with the Geordies.
No, I don't think it was that she didn't like them as people, but she see them as a threat. See, what she thought was, once you open your mouth and hear how I talk, which was Cockney, they'd start on you, you know, because I know it's not as violent as it is today, but children can be a bit brutal. And they never liked, in those days, I found that nobody liked changes. We didn't like anything different to happen, you know. And I remember being set next to, in those days, we had desks with three-seater desks. And they put me in between two young Geordie girls at the same age, you know. They used to play tricks on me and I was a bit gullible. And one used to flutter her eyelids and say, quick, call out to the teacher, she's fainting. And I used to say, and they used to buck up quickly and laugh, you know, and the teacher told me off. And it was all that. I could really have done a lot more than they could as far as tricks and jokes. But you felt a bit oppressed by being in a different area.
But were you really badly treated there?
Never at all, never. Very well treated. I don't know if the Americans was up there, but I remember it was the Americans that put on a big show in a big local cinema, a theatre, and they gave us all a present, and we all went there. And my mum used to go to, it's called St. Margaret's House, I think it was called, where you'd get a pair of plimsolls to wear and, you know, some clothing. I don't know who they were, but Mr. Ledbetter, I can see him now. You had to go around and say what you wanted, and he'd see that you was well provided for, you know.
When VE Day came and the end of the war, were you in any celebrations?
I was. I went to all the young, we were becoming young people then. I was, how old was I then? I was 13. And there was about eight of us, all friends. And there was a big celebration in, if you know Bethnal Green at all, the Bethnal Green Museum, which is a big tract of land, which we used to call the Barmy Park, because in the old days it was an asylum where the libraries. Well, they had the celebrations there, and they had fireworks and bonfire and dancing and a big American-type band playing Glenn Miller stuff. And we were mingling with the crowds, and we had a really nice evening. That was the, I don't remember the Japan one so much, but that was the first one. That was the in March of 45.
Now, post-war, how did you become a soldier yourself?
Well, it was National Service. I never volunteered for anything. My father said to me, when you become 18 and you go to do your National Service, I'll give you some advice. He said, do not ever volunteer for anything whatsoever. He said, and this is exactly what he told me. He didn't know I was going to war because a few years was at the tower and it disappointed him. He used to say to me, when you go in the army, things are going to change. Because you know what young boys are like. I used to leave my clothing on the chair and he'd say, wait, you get in the army, it's going to change, you know. He said, you wake you up Scotland somewhere, miles away from home, you start waking your ideas up. But what happened was, when the bus pass came to go, I had about three pence warrant to get to Tower Hill, Bethnal Green Station. He went mad. He said, I can't believe it's home from home. You know? So I went into the Fusiliers as a National Serviceman. And he said to me, if ever you have any trouble, never volunteer. Because if you... He used to say to this, he's that old soldier say, a bullet has your name on it, and if you dodge...